available at 772-336-1633.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
Thank you for joining us as we continue in Mega Grace.
It's not a matter of whether or not God has prepared the way for you and the way is made already. It's a matter of how you handle your wilderness, or how you allow your wilderness to handle you. Amen. We looked at the importance of ridding yourself of murmuring and disputing. Now, we're in an Old Testament script right now, but that Old Testament script is written for our learning. There's resource, there's examples there that we are to follow and examples we are not to follow. Is written for us to learn from them, that we don't fall after the same example or the same way they fail. Different time, different setting, but very much like right now and where we are right now as far as the church in relation to going into the promised land. All right? So I want to emphasize something very, very important that must take place in your wilderness. You know, Canaan is somewhere you cannot fake. You know, you fake people out before, right? Come on, don't look at it. Look straight ahead. You fake folk out before. You faked it, you know, played it off, got by. You know, when you're going through school, you cheated on tests, or some of y'all. You know, you did stuff, but you could fake it till you make it. This is where God genuinely, you know, genuinely has to do a work in you in order to possess what he has for you, all right? So go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 1. Let's start at verse 1. Israel sad, even though they are our example, and this is written for our example, it's sad that they never learned or never received, never humbled themselves to God's working in their life in their wilderness. They never did. Not that first generation. They were so stubborn and stiff-necked, and Egypt was so ingrained in them, dependence upon Egypt was so ingrained in them that it provoked God. After 10 times, God said, I'm through. Now, I know we live in a time of grace, but this is written for our learning. I wonder sometimes, are there opportunities that knocked and knocked and knocked? Someone just didn't respond or waited too late, and then the door of opportunity closed. But it was God's will for you. It was for you, and afterwards you had to settle for something less. Well, this group murmured and complained to the degree where God said, I'm through. And he said, they will not enter because of their unbelief. And so he took care of them. Now, look, he didn't just strike them dead. No, after they went back into the wilderness, their shoes still did not wax old. Their clothes still didn't wax old. God still fed them until they died. He still took care of them, but they never entered in to fulfill their purpose and to embrace the abundance that God had for them. So in chapter 8, verse 1, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Number one, to humble you. Why did God lead them those 40 years in the wilderness? To humble them. Number two, to prove you. In other words, to test you, to prove you. These 40 years were to be working something out of you and humbling you in order to prove you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep my commandments or no. And he humbled you, and he suffered you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you knew not, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. Your raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did your foot swell these 40 years. In other words, there was no disease. Only time there was disease is when they rebelled and God sent plagues among them. But outside of them, God sending that himself, there was no disease. Their foot didn't swell. There was no scurvy, no beriberi, none of that stuff that was common or that should have taken them in that wilderness. None of it. You shall also consider in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Your raiment waxed not old upon you, neither did your foot swell these 40 years. No, next verse. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. Okay, so we see here the purpose of the wilderness. And when we look at Israel transitioning from Egypt to Canaan, the purpose of that time, and it's important that we understand because this is written for our learning. The purpose of that time was to humble them, to prove them, to suffer them to hunger. You know, some people need a fresh anointing of hunger. I pray after these 40 days of prayer that some people get hungry for God again. Hungry for the word, hungry for fellowship, and not just complacent and satisfied, but it was to humble them, to prove them, to cause them to hunger, and for God to know and for them to know that we don't live by bread alone. We don't live by substance. We don't, you know, the flesh pots in Egypt are not what sustain us. You know, the food that we eat is not really what's sustaining us. You know, houses and fine apparel and all these things are not really what life is about. Amen. As a matter of fact, none of these things really sustain us. You know, God could take the joy from anything. You know, you could have a lot of money and be depressed. Amen. You could have everything you want and be, you know, there's stories, literal stories of billionaires committing suicide. When you would think someone that had everything they wanted and then could get anything they wanted whenever they wanted it, it would be enough. But no, it's not. Because man does not live by bread alone. Amen. That's not real life. So we need, see, the wilderness is to erase that from our thinking. Amen. That just possessing things is going to do it. It's not going to do it. Anything we subtract God out of is going to be a curse to you. Amen. If God ain't in it, it's going to be a curse to you. Amen. It might be a little pleasure for a season, but after a while, it's going to be a curse to you. Yeah. It'll drag you. Anything that God has left out of, anything that's not covered by covenant, going to get diseased. Amen. It's going to be infirm. That's why God said, when you go into the land, when you do come into the land, destroy everything. Amen. These pagan people, they sacrifice their children unto the god Molech. They have incest. They fornicate. They do all kind of things. He said, destroy everything. Lest it turn your heart from me. What has entered into the churches today? You'll compromise with everything that's in the world. And God is not pleased with that. So that's what the wilderness is for. The wilderness, you got to learn. You know, that's where your flesh has to die. Come on, that's where you're stinking thinking. That's where you are not the focal point. Where your eyes behold a greater purpose than just sustenance for your life. Amen. In the wilderness. It's preparation for the Canaan. Because if you don't get prepared in the wilderness, you're not going to be prepared if you get over in Canaan. Amen. Look at all the, well, not all, but the majority of lottery winners get rich real quick. No preparation. Majority of lives ruined. Amen. So this is preparation. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We cannot stress enough the preparation of wilderness. That's where you either graduate or you fail. Not when you get over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me start at verse 18. Now I want to begin to emphasize more what this wilderness that you go through is supposed to produce in you. Because it's contrary to the world, the way the world thinks. It is. It's so diametrically opposed to the way the world thinks. We see, in the world, we call the proud happy. But the Bible says, blessed are they that mourn. What does that mean? You know, blessed are the meek. We call the ones that are lifted up happy. But the Lord said, blessed are the meek. It's diametrically opposed to the way of the world. See, and so often we've thought like the world. We've measured who we are and how blessed we are and all that in reference to the wrong measurement. And in so doing, we miss God. We miss God's best. And so at best, we're just trendy like the world. We go up and down. We go up and down. But today we want to expose and then dispose. Get rid of all that foolishness so that God can do a genuine work in our heart. Amen. For eternity. Paul says this. He says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. You'll hear that word a lot, foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. This is a key verse. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Here's a key. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Go back to verse 25 with me. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. That's a fascinating verse. The foolishness of God. There's some stuff about God that man would call or does call foolish. There's some stuff about God, even when Christ came and was crucified in weakness, that man would call weak. But it's interesting, God in his omniscience and omnipotence and omnipresence, how the foolish, he hid something in the foolishness. You see, revelation is not hidden from us, but it's hidden for us. And it takes a certain type. It takes a certain type of person to be able to mine it out.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll free 1-877-TR-BANKS. Or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.